From major seminary, I studied at the Pontifical University of St. Thomas Aquinas in Rome. It was named after one of the greatest theologians in the history of Holy Mother Church, St. Thomas Aquinas, writing in what many people call the Dark Ages, but in reality, a time of incredible scholasticism, especially in the Holy Roman Catholic Church. And St. Thomas Aquinas, he was able to organize and categorize and structure Catholic theology in such a way that even today, the vast majority of Catholic theology, of fundamental theology, rests on the organization which he did. It's really incredible. And so we read from his writings quite often. And most of the writings on Holy Mother Church are contained in a couple of volumes called the Summa. And he writes in a very fascinating way. What he'll do is he'll ask a question. He'll ask a question. And then he'll propose two or three or four responses to that question. It is said that here's the answer, or this is the answer. And then he will have objections to these questions, and in doing that, bring out the point or bring out the truth of that particular question. And one of the questions which we discussed in one of the classes was this: was there a better way for God to save humanity than to send his only begotten Son into the world to suffer on the cross, to die for us, to be buried, and to rise from the dead? Was there a better, was there a superior way for God to redeem mankind? And he goes through this question, and ultimately he comes up with this answer. There is not a better way that God could have saved mankind. Because if there was a better way, God would have chosen it. Because God cannot choose something which is inferior. If there's a better option, God always has to choose the better. He cannot choose something which is inferior. So St. Thomas tells us in the Summa that God chose the best way possible to redeem mankind. It was by sending his Son into the world to suffer on the cross, to die, to be buried, and rise from the dead. And there is no better way. And a lot of people ask the question, you know, why does the Son of God have to suffer for us? And it's one of the greatest mysteries ever made known to mankind. We don't understand or fully comprehend this mystery, but at least this mystery it's made known to us. It's revealed to us as such a beautiful mystery. In fact, a lot of people will look at suffering, not only of Christ on the cross, but look at suffering in their own life, and they'll question that. It's a great mystery for their own life. And to be honest, when people ask those questions, you know, why am I suffering? Why do I have to suffer? They're not alone. Because this particular problem, which is called in philosophical or theological circles, it's called the problem of suffering or the problem of evil. It's been discussed and written about for millennia. We hear it proposed very, very well in the book of Job. Why does somebody have to suffer? And I'll summarize this philosophical argument of the problem of evil or the problem of suffering. If God is all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-loving, which he is, why does he allow suffering to exist in the world? If God is all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-loving, why does he allow evil to exist in our world? And the short answer is, God does not create evil or suffering, because he cannot, but he allows it to exist because suffering can allow something greater to happen. Something good can be brought out of suffering. And all we have to do is look at the cross. Jesus Christ suffering on the cross. And I have a lot of good friends who are Protestants, but I just don't understand my Protestant brethren. You know, you'll rarely see a crucifix, you always see a cross. And they say, well, we're past the suffering. We're on Easter. Well, sometimes they forget, you can't get to Easter, you can't get to the resurrection without the suffering, without the death. And something great indeed comes from the suffering of our Lord on the cross. Because if Jesus Christ did not suffer on the cross, none of us here would have our sins forgiven. None of us. None of us here would have an opportunity to enter into eternal life. None of us. Make no mistake about it. It's through the suffering of our Lord on the cross, his death on the cross, that we are redeemed. And so we look at that suffering and we see not only did a good come from it, but the greatest good, from our perspective, the greatest good, the forgiveness of our sins and an ability to enter into eternal life, comes from Jesus Christ suffering on the cross. Powerful to think about that, isn't it? And this is something which was foreshadowed in the scriptures. Our first reading came from Isaiah. Isaiah, written, what, 5 or 6 centuries before the birth of our Lord, foreshadowed, it predicted a suffering servant, which we heard about in today's first reading. Foreshadowing, there would be a suffering servant who comes to lead God's people, to save God's people through that servant's suffering. And Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of that prophecy of Isaiah. Suffering on the cross, leading us by suffering on the cross, leading us to heaven. It's very powerful to think about that. John Paul II, who wrote so many incredible apostolic letters and encyclicals, wrote a letter in English titled Redemptive Suffering. Salvifici Dolores in Latin. Redemptive Suffering. And in this writing, in this very beautiful and powerful and important letter, John Paul talks about the importance of the Son of God suffering on the cross and what happens because of that. The results, the consequences of that. And John Paul II says that the redemption of mankind comes from the suffering, the prayer of suffering, which Jesus is offering on the cross. So the redemption is coming from that prayer which Jesus is offering on the cross, his suffering, bodily suffering. And John Paul II goes on to say, if we in our own suffering, and all of us here are suffering from something, whether it be physical pains or aches or cancer, illness, whether it be emotional or mental suffering, whether it be moral suffering. There's a lot of moral suffering in our world today. A lot. All of us here are suffering from something or some things. And John Paul says, if we look into our own suffering and we unite our suffering, we offer our suffering to the suffering of Jesus Christ on the cross. If we unite our suffering to the suffering of Christ on the cross, then we share in the redemption of mankind. If your prayer of suffering is offered to the prayer of suffering of Jesus Christ on the cross, you're sharing in that prayer. You're sharing, you're participating in the redemption of mankind. You're not causing it, but you're participating in that. It's very beautiful to think about that. And it really gives an incredibly different perspective on suffering, because the world right now wants you to avoid suffering at any cost. Any cost. Medicine, hospitals, surgeries, therapists, counselors. If those don't work, alcohol, drugs, power, possessions, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, get away from that suffering. Avoid it. Because suffering is bad. Well, the church is saying, and Christ on the cross is saying, you know, something good and something actually great can come from suffering. And when you unite your suffering, no matter what that suffering may be, to the Lord's prayer of suffering on the cross, it becomes something very powerful. I've been a priest for 14 years, 3 months, and 19 days today. And in that time, I have visited many, many people who are dying, many people who are suffering greatly. And one of the first things I will do when I go into that person's room, whether it be at home or in a nursing home or in a hospital room, no matter where it is, I'll ask the family, the parents, the friends, sometimes even the staff of that facility to hang a crucifix in a place where this person who is suffering can easily gaze on the crucifix. And I'll tell the person, whoever's suffering, I will say, you know, offer your suffering to the suffering of our Lord Jesus on the cross. Because your prayers are very powerful right now, and make that suffering your prayer. And pray for your family like you've never prayed for them before. Pray for your friends. Pray for me. Pray for special intentions, because your prayers are very powerful right now. And they are. And this is true. I remember when my mother was dying in hospice in Coeur d'Alene, there came a point where she couldn't even sit up in bed anymore. She couldn't even sit up. So I have a picture of a crucifix, a picture which I took in Kasha at the burial place of St. Rita in Italy. I took a picture of this very beautiful mosaic crucifix on the convent wall. And I took this picture and I taped it on the ceiling. I taped it on the ceiling above my mother's bed. So all she had to do was open her eyes to gaze on the crucified Lord, so that her prayer of suffering can be united to the prayer of suffering which Jesus offers on the cross. Redemptive suffering. It's powerful to think about. We look at the model for that, and John Paul points out in his letter, the model is Our Lady of Sorrows. She stood at the foot of the cross, and she's offering her suffering heart, her broken heart. She's uniting her broken heart to the pierced heart of her Son on the cross. And in doing that, she shares in the redemption of mankind. She participates in it. She's not causing it, because she's not a goddess, but she's participating in it. And we too, in whatever suffering we're experiencing, whatever you are suffering from, when you unite that suffering with the suffering of Jesus Christ on the cross, it takes on meaning. Because you participate in the greatest act of love ever manifested to the world. So as we continue with this Holy Mass, we pray for wisdom. We also pray for courage, that we will, in our suffering, no matter what we're suffering from, moral, physical, mental, emotional, whatever it may be, we pray that we will have the wisdom and the courage to unite our sufferings to the suffering of Jesus Christ on the cross, and in doing that, share in the redemption, participate in the salvation of mankind. Praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever.